Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
I'm Alan Paul, and I'm the director of Our Town at the Shakespeare Theater Company.
Yes, it'll be at Shakespeare Theater through June 11th. Of course, it is the famous play, Pulitzer Prize winning play, actually, by Thornton Wilder. In case people have, you know, maybe they forgot their, you know, high school drama production or whatever, you know, remind them the basic, you know, premise of what Thornton Wilder wrote, and then we can go into sort of how you've updated it and stuff. But, you know, give me the basic premise of the original thing.
Well, the original play is about two families, the Webb family and the Gibbs family, and they live next door to each other. And the Webbs have a daughter named Emily who falls in love with the Gibbs' son, George. So it's about them meeting and falling in love and what happens to them after. But it's also about life and death, what it means to be in a small town in America, and the universe. So it's macro and micro about life.
So do you think that's sort of the genius of what Wilder pulled off, is that, you know, it was the simplicity of, you know, an intimate look at a small town life, but you're saying at the same time, it means everything. It's all the universal stuff, you know, as told through the micro.
Yeah, it's all of that. I mean, the play examines small, inconsequential moments of life, but by examining them, he's trying to show us what is extraordinary about them, and that the small things are just as important as the big things. He talks about the moment that George and Emily first fell in love and then has us watch it. And, you know, it's not a big conversation, but in the course of, you know, 15 minutes, they go from being friends to deciding to marry each other, and their lives are changed forever. And there's a famous line at the end of the play that Emily asks about, does anyone realize life, really realize it as they live it? And the answer is no, but the play is an attempt to try and recognize and take stock of the moment.
Definitely. And does, so in your version, does the like, you know, what is it? The stage manager character, do they address the audience? Like, is that sort of interplay between the audience?
Yeah. I mean, the amazing thing about the stage manager is that they talk directly to the audience for almost all of the show. What is kind of amazing is I think it's the first time ever that we've turned the Harmon Center into the round. So there'll be audience on all four sides, and the stage manager will be able to talk to literally everyone. And the audience is going to be able to see each other during the whole play. So it's going to be quite an interesting event for the audience itself.
Now, what other ways do you, I mean, so this, you know, it's what, it was written in what, 1938, but I know the actual play was set Grover's Corners, it, like turn of the century, right? It was like 1901 to 1913, somewhere in there.
Yes.
So is yours still set there? Is it like updated in a different time, or how does your take?
Well, that's a difficult question.
right.
But I've put myself in a difficult position to answer, because the play itself, of course, spans like 1898 to 1911 is what you said. And the way the characters behave, you know, has to do with that time. So in a way, I mean, it is a play about America in that time, but they're not going to be wearing clothes that have anything to do with that period. The actors are just wearing sort of modern clothes. Thornton Wilder was really interesting in the writing of the play, in that he decided there should be no props. And so he wanted like a total sense of theatricality. And he wanted the audience to fill in the blanks of basically everything with their mind. And so in the opening scene, the two mothers are cooking breakfast, but there's no breakfast. There's no stove, there's no pan, there's no plates. You see it all mimed. So the feeling I've had about the show is that it should be as theatrical as possible. And so it's gonna feel, I hope, like turn of the century, but it's also gonna look a little bit like today. And it's going to be done as simply and I hope imaginatively as possible. And I think that's one of the reasons I was so excited to do the play, is that after 2 years of many of us sitting, you know, watching hyper-realistic things on Netflix and on the computer, to number one, go to the theater, and number two, go to an event where there's nothing realistic about it, I thought would be kind of exciting, and at least what I want to see right now.
Yeah, and you were sort of alluding to my next question, which was, you know, what we see visually on the stage. You know, you're talking about how you don't actually see some of the props and stuff that you're talking about. But yeah, just going more into that a little bit. If our listeners turn out to Shakespeare Theater and they, you know, they sit down and they see the stage production, you know, what are we seeing visually on stage in terms of, you know, is backdrops or, you know, costumes, everything?
Well, it's an amazing set design by the designer Wilson Chin, who's done a bunch of work on Broadway. And it's in the round. So it's a very simple but elevated playing space in the middle of the room with a big gable. And, you know, Thornton Wilder wanted the setting to be as simple as possible because, you know, he didn't want the themes of the play to be cluttered by scenery and costumes and props. He wanted to show human behavior at its most naked and most direct. And it's really like a weird, interesting thing to watch, like a husband and wife have a fight or something in the kitchen while they're having breakfast. And they're having the fight and they're of course doing the action of having the breakfast, but there's no breakfast. So he'll say, "Oh, Julia, you made me French toast." And she hands him a imaginary plate and then he eats it. And there's no toast. All there is like what's between the people. And because of that, you know, we've worked with a gentleman named Mark Jaster, who is like a master mime, you know, and hours and hours and hours of, you know, which hand do I pick the imaginary coffee cup with? Does the coffee cup have a handle? Is it hot? How big is it? How full is the cup of coffee? When do I drink the imaginary coffee? I mean, all these things I hope you don't notice during the show, but I hope give it a kind of like a flavor.
Right, right. And you, that's not the whole, you know, pantomime, no prop kind of a thing. That's not something you added. That's the way it's always been done, right?
Always. And it's a particular challenge. And, you know, there's a scene I alluded to where the two wives are making breakfast over, you know, a period of 10 minutes. And, you know, there are a lot of steps you have to track if you're cooking bacon and eggs and pouring coffee and, you know, who takes milk in their coffee, what happens to the fat that you have in the pan after you've done the bacon, do you use that for the eggs? Where are the plates? I mean, it becomes its own ballet, which is, I think, going to be fun. And it's going to be really fun to see that in the round, you know, because usually you see it in a proscenium.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very breakfast.
It seems like it's very, you know, what's the phrase is what, like, you know, meta theater, like it's a play that's always been hyper aware that it is a play. And when you're coming to sit and watch it, you're real, you know, it's not hyper realistic. You're like, you know, you got the stage manager talking to you from the stage. You're seeing that there's not actually props there, but it's very, the audience is almost involved and it's, I don't want to say wink, wink, cause that's reductive, but you know what I mean? It's very self-aware of itself.
And like, it's interesting because if I got a play put on my desk that did all these things now, like by a current playwright, I'd think it was crazy, you know? And like, what on earth is this play? It's so weird.
Right.
But like, he wrote this in 1938. I mean, he broke all these kind of amazing rules. And like, so it's kind of incredible. Like, it's just an incredible piece of total theater in all its complexity. And for those, I don't want to spoil the third act, but I mean, the fact that they go into a version of death and then take you back to Earth. I mean, who writes this kind of thing?
Right, exactly. Well, what, you know, Edward Albee, I think he called it his favorite, the best play ever written or something. I mean, do you agree? I mean, never mind. That's a hard question. I hate when people ask, what's the greatest ever? I'm sure you have a bunch of favorites, but I guess maybe we'll phrase it this way. Why do you think Edward Albee, you know, would hold it in such esteem?
Well, because it shows what is extraordinary in the small moments of life in such a unique way. And, you know, it talks about what is eternal, what is going to live beyond our physical bodies when they die. Mm-hmm. And all, what is the beginning of love? You know, in the play, there is also, there are numbers all throughout the play. She cooked 20,000 meals. She cooked 40,000 meals. The ancestors, millions of them. Everybody goes in their grave two by two. I mean, it's obsessed with life and death in a way that is so much more direct than any other play, that, you know, and those are the things that we just have a hard time talking about. And I think that's why for almost 100 years, we've just come back to it. And why, although parts of it that have to do with 1901 or 1911 age, the eternal part of the play doesn't age at all and feels just as fresh today. It's sort of shocking when you think about it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to hear a little bit more about you and your personal journey, Alan Paul. I mean, if this is dealing with, you know, our town, you know, the small town life, were there any aspects in your hometown that you particularly latched onto in this?
Well, I think that the fun thing is my hometown is DC.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, I grew up obviously not in DC. Everyone says they grew up in DC and they're from like Maryland or Virginia, and I'm from Potomac, Maryland.
Well, same. I'm from Frederick, Maryland. But we're all like, DC.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the pandemic, when the theater was shut down for, you know, as long as it was really tricky to figure out what to bring to do when we came back. And I thought long and hard about what play I wanted to do. And I just thought we should do our town, because so much had happened here in the city itself. And, you know, I had seen so many of my friends and colleagues out of work that were artists during the pandemic who, you know, there was nowhere for an actor to go. And there was no way for them to make any money. They were just stuck. And the community here suffered quite a bit. And I thought, why not celebrate them and do our town with all local actors to DC and local artists and make it about us? And that's what happened. And I tried to get the best local actors in DC. And when I told them all the idea, I got them. So, I mean, it's a kind of amazing group of people. And the other amazing thing that happened is that we were supposed to rehearse the show in January and open it in February. And with Omicron and everything, that the insanity of that this winter, we had to postpone the show. And amazingly, everyone that was signed up to do it in January, February, kind of changed their lives around to do it in May and June. And a lot of them dropped out of other shows or changed things. And so we've worked in this incredibly virtuosic, weird way to make sure that all the artists that were committed before could do it now. And it's been a wild, fun, weird process for that reason. And it's been all about DC.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bizarre process. And everyone's sort of, I feel like that we're kind of making it up as we go along, trying to figure out this whole pandemic.
But after COVID, like, let's just figure out how to make it work.
Right.
Like, why not? Well, I mean, and the challenge is like, welcome, like, bring it on.
Yeah, right. You and I are doing a Zoom interview that we probably would have done in studio in the old day. You know what I mean? In the before times.
Yeah, we would never have even thought about this.
And right. Nor was the technology really, you know, the sound quality and you know what I mean? Like, everyone's sort of used to it now, both to our ears and, you know, how to even click the right buttons to make it work. You know, the point is we're sidetracking, but the point is we're all sort of figuring it out together. Well, very cool. Well, you know, I still do want, you know, you did a great job diving into, you know, how DC is sort of your hometown, but I still do want to hear educate our listeners on you a little bit of your theatrical journey too. You know, how did you get into, you know, if you grew up around here in Potomac in the general DC area, you know, what was your, you know, what were like your high school plays that you did, and what did you do in college? Like, I always love hearing that stuff.
Well, I mean, for those of you that are listeners from Montgomery County, I went to Churchill High School, which at the time did a thing called Blast from the Past, which was a big rock and roll review every spring. And so, like, I was in that every year, and I got to sing New York State of Mind and play piano my senior year, which was spring of 2002. You know, so we had all been through 9/11 together as a senior class. And that, you know, meant quite a bit here, because I had many friends that had parents that worked at the Pentagon. And that was quite a thing for us all to live through. I mean, none of us will ever forget it. And then I went to Northwestern, and I thought I'd be an actor at the time. And did a lot of plays, and then I got fed up by student directors who would be your friend and then direct a student production and become tyrants. And I thought, geez, like, directing's not that hard. Like, and then my teacher said, well, you should do it and see if you can. And I directed Six Degrees of Separation as a senior in college, fell in love with it, and decided I never wanted to get on the stage again and that I would be a director. And right after that, my parents, it was like January of my senior year of college, and my parents are subscribers of Arena Stage, and they met Molly Smith, who is the artistic director, and they told her at a performance one day, our son wants to be a director. And she said, tell him to meet with me. And on spring break of my senior year, I went to her office. We had a talk, and she said, I'd like you to be my assistant director on a production of Cabaret in the fall. And I got a job. So
very cool. I didn't know you were under the Molly Smith learning tree. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. And what happened after that is I knew that I would be in DC. And so I called Woolly Mammoth and applied to be the intern for Howard Shalwitz, who used to run that. He hired me. So I was there for the summer. Then I went to Arena. Molly liked me and then hired me again to work for Moises Kaufman, the director. And that's how I met David Muse, who used to be my position at the Shakespeare Theater and now runs the Studio Theater. And through David, I met Michael Kahn, who used to run the Shakespeare Theater Company. And within a few months, I was working there. So from 2007 to this moment, I've been in all different positions from intern to associate artistic director at the Shakespeare Theater Company.
I love it. And
my story is like a DC theater story.
But that's what we love about it. We love the hometown heroes, if you will. you're our town. No, but you know, we've spoken with you before. Gosh, I don't even remember. Maybe it was Spring Awakening at Roundhouse or something. Yeah. I mean, you've done productions all over the place, but it's always great to talk with you on WTOP. But before we run, I mean, I always like you just speak directly to the listeners, you know, like, hey guys, come on out. You're going to have a good time kind of a thing.
Yeah. I want everyone to come see our town at the Shakespeare Theater Company because I think it's just going to be a wonderful show. And it's so, so exciting to be back in the theater. So I hope to see everybody there.
Again, everyone, it is Our Town, the famous Thornton Wilder play directed by Alan Paul at Shakespeare Theater Company through June 11th. So get your tickets now at shakespearetheater.org. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.